All right, we're in the book of Acts, chapter 20. You need that? Got a point. And we stopped last time at verse 30. I'd like to pick it up, if I can, at verses 29, 30, and 31, sort of have a background. For those of you who are listening, we welcome you. We're listening by way of the Internet. Thank you for listening in to us. Give us a call at 856-261-9018, or give us an email, questions@bftbc.org. Glad that you're joining with us. And Acts chapter 20, let's begin by reading verse number 29, 30, and 31, starting at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. All right, verse 29. Who's speaking here? Apostle Paul. And what city is he in?
Macedonia.
Macedonia?
I don't know. I thought that's what it was.
Well, he's meeting with the elders of Ephesus, but I think he's in Miletus.
Elders of the church. Well, he called for the elders from the church at Ephesus, and I suppose...
Verse 17?
Yes. Miletus. He's probably... Verse 17, all right. He went to what apparently was close by, dwelling at Ephesus. They fell in 17. All right, let's take a look. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus. So... He sent to Ephesus. Apparently he wasn't Miletus, but he sent to Ephesus to get the elders to come. That's not too far away, I guess. Ephesus is right here. Ephesus and Miletus. Let's see, where's Miletus? Miletus is right. That's mentally... Miletus is somewhere close by, apparently.
It's down under Ephesus.
You're right here, Miletus. Okay, that's good. Right is Miletus, yeah. Ephesus is here. Miletus is right here, just about an inch.
Your pointer.
What is that?
Your pointer.
Okay, well, I forget my pointer. I didn't know I needed a pointer, but I guess I do. The pointer, all right.
That's
so Ephesus is here. Miletus is here. Just about an inch on.
To the south of it.
To the south of it, that's right. So from Miletus, he called that. Now, what if the elders at Ephesus didn't want to come?
They did.
Well, tough.
That'd be tough. They missed.
They missed.
Now, we found out last Thursday that the elders were three different names for the same office. What were the three names? What was the one office?
Elders.
Pardon me?
Elders.
Pastor.
There were three different names for what?
That they called the elders at Ephesus.
Bishops, pastors.
Pastors, and he told them, remember, he told them what to do.
Elders.
The elders, in verse 28, you take heed unto yourself to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So they're elders, they're overseers. What is an overseer?
Someone who...
The boss.
Episcopal.
Well, right. Episcopals or bishops, or sure the bishops. Pastors, they're bishops. Now notice what he says in verse 28. Feed the church of God. What Greek word is that?
Poimen.
Like poimenos. It means shepherd. See? Pastor, feed, be a shepherd. So these elders were also bishops, but also pastors. So we believe the scripture is very clear in Acts 20, also in 1 Peter 5, that the one that's leading the flock is a pastor, is a bishop, he's an elder. See, that's a difference from a lot of these different churches, like the Presbyterian Church see it differently, Lutheran Church see it differently, Roman Catholics. So anyway, he called from that place, maybe just about an inch away, so that would probably be a stretch of miles, probably, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 miles they'd have to go. But they came, apparently. And so then in verse 29 we began, Paul is talking to these elders, these pastors, bishops, and elders, after my departing. What do you think he means by that?
After he left.
After he left, okay. If he didn't believe he's going to depart, what's going to happen in verse 29? What's the first thing that's going to happen?
Sore wolves. Grievous wolves.
Grievous wolves are going to do what?
Enter in.
What are they going to do?
They're infiltrating.
Yeah, not sparing. They're going to go after.
They're going to infiltrate.
Infiltrate. Those are people from without. What would a grievous wolf believe? What would he not believe? What would a grievous wolf be?
He wouldn't believe the scriptures.
Evil. It would be the scriptures.
It would
be
rapacious.
Evil. Rapacious. What is it?
Rapacious.
Rapacious. Okay. You're going to say rapacious.
What did he say?
Rapacious.
Well,
Yeah, that means very strongly it will. But what type of a doc...
Like a wolf.
What kind of a doctrine would these grievous wolves believe?
False
doctrine. What would they not believe? What are some things?
They wouldn't believe in anything.
What was... They wouldn't believe the deity of Christ? What else would they not believe?
They wouldn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Wouldn't believe he's the Son of God? What else would they not believe? Excuse me, let's hold that. We got those two things. Let's hold this. See, we got this. That's Rob from Winnick from Chicago. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, Pastor. Hi, everyone. Joyful December, everyone.
Yeah.
I think you were pretty much hitting on the list and getting to what the definition of these wolves are. And in Matthew 7:15, Jesus tells us what they are. He says, Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Yes. Very good. Thanks, Rob. Let's wave to Rob in Chicago. Good verse.
Lord
Jesus warned them that's going to be outside dressed in sheep's clothing, but inside ravenous wolves. And so they deny some of the doctrines. We mentioned the doctrines, the deity of Christ. What other doctrines do they deny? We mentioned, I can't think of the second one. We had two of them. It was deity and then the virgin birth. I think we mentioned virgin birth. Maybe what else do they deny?
What are the three doctrines?
Well, the different things. They deny the deity of Christ, that Christ was perfect God. Also, I think we maybe mentioned the virgin birth, I'm not sure. The virgin birth of Christ, they deny that. He wasn't born of a virgin.
Some people say there wasn't even a Jesus.
That's right, some deny even Jesus even existed. That's a possibility. What other doctrines might they have been denied?
Eternal security.
Eternal security, that you're eternal secure once you're saved.
Salvation through faith.
Salvation through faith alone in Christ, without any works. What else would they deny?
The scripture.
The scripture, the Bible.
Inerrant and
inerrant, infallible. The scripture, the word of God. What else would they deny? What about his miracles?
It's true.
They wouldn't deny, they would deny that he performed any miracles, these ravenous wolves. And of course, what about his bodily resurrection? They wouldn't deny, they would deny that too. His coming again, all these different things. And are these ravenous wolves, or these grievous wolves, from within the church or without the church?
Well,
according to verse 29.
They come into the church.
Right, they came into, it says, after why shall they enter in among you? So they came from without, but they're entering in. See, they're outsiders entering into the church. Now, do sometimes unbelieving wolves enter Bible-believing churches?
Yes.
Yes, they do. And when they come in, what do they tend to do?
Take over,
that's right. They want to be the boss. And what do they think of the Bible-believing Christians that are in that church?
That the people who believe?
Yes, uh-huh.
They think that they're being tricked, I guess.
Okay. But the unbelieving wolves, what is their opinion of the real Bible-believing Christians? What is their opinion of those people?
Not very nice.
Not very nice? Yeah, Paul?
Yeah, they don't believe it. They think they're false doctrines.
They probably think they're false because they believe the Bible. And of course, these wolves don't. So they try to destroy. And now, yes?
Would that be the same things that Jewish people would think of Christians?
Possibly.
The same way?
Possibly, because in Paul's day, in the book of Acts, the Jews, they hated Paul. They drove him out of the city. They wanted to kill him, you know. So the Jews hated the Christians. There was a friction. That's right.
They're intellectually deficient.
Intellectually deficient. So these are...
Yeah,
these.
I think that, don't they?
What is that?
They think that Christians are intellectually deficient.
That's exactly right. Yeah. In fact, the Pope just made an announcement. I saw it today in one of the newspapers that came to me on the internet. You know what the Pope thinks of fundamental Christians?
No.
Insane. There's something, a mental illness for those who are fundamentalists, Bible-believing, I guess of any religion, but talk about us, we're Bible. So that's the Pope for you.
Even the New York Times thinks that.
Is that right?
Right on the paper of the New York Times.
Yeah, because they think fundamentalists. In other words,
that's
So you know what one of the definitions of some people fundamentalism is, don't you? Very little. What is it?
Fundamentalism.
Oh, funny. Sometimes they're fundamentalist. Funny. Also, very little fun, too much damn. fundamentalism. Too much damn, other people send me
not
say,
enough
no.
metal.
Maybe not enough metal, see, that's right. So anyway, so they come in from without and try to take over. And now after a while, after the grievous wolves are in a church for very long, what is the tendency of the Bible-believing Christians in the church to want to do?
Leave.
Leave. Try to get them out. They shouldn't be brought in, but try to, and if they can't, then they leave. That's what's true of apostasy and all these different denominations, isn't it? Started out one way, pretty soon completely taken over by the liberals, modernists. So of your own selves. Notice the verse 30, not only from without, but what in verse 30 is going to happen to the church at Ephesus there? What does it mean, of your own selves? What does that mean, of your own selves?
Among the company.
Among the company. Those that are right there in the church members, those Bible-believing Christians, of, right in your own self, not just from without, what's going to happen?
Speak of negative things to draw them away.
What kind of things are they going to speak?
Perverse things.
What does perverse mean?
Not very nice.
Evil.
Evil.
All right. Twisted. Warped. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Those listening about the internet, give us a call or comment. We're glad to hear from you. Twisted, perverse things. Now, that's interesting. They're in there. Apparently they may be viable in Christians, at least they pretended to be. All of a sudden they start perversities, and they just twist and change.
That's what happens in the cults.
Yes, the cults twist things, don't they? Speaking of perverse things, and then what else is true? What is going to be the effect of the perverse thing? What is their really real mission?
To draw the disciples away.
Draw them away, or where?
To follow them.
Follow, draw them after them.
Follow, followers.
They want to be followers of these.
No, they want followers.
Oh,
they
want followers. Yeah, I misread the verse.
People come to your house to try to draw you away.
Yes, yes.
From what you believe in, and usually it's the Christians that they go after.
That's right. So these from within, they're going to be men speaking person. I don't know how they got there, but they were there for somewhere, and all of a sudden they try to draw disciples after them, speaking perverse things, unscriptural things. And so Paul warns these people. Now we got to verse 31. That's where we start tonight. And what's the therefore, therefore?
Therefore?
Yes, why does it have therefore?
For this reason.
That you what, need to watch.
And we have to, what two reasons
look out.
Does he mention? Look out. What are the two reasons that he gives because he's got to this? What's he just mentioned? Grievous wolves come.
And people from within.
And from within. So I got the perverse speaking from within, grievous wolves from without. Therefore, you elder, your pastors, rich elders, to do what? What does that word watch mean?
Look out.
Look out. Be careful. Get your eyes and ears open, your mind. Be careful. Yes, Paul.
Keep vigilant, I guess. Vigilant.
Yeah, vigilant. That's right. Always vigilant. That's the motto. Is it the Air Force? Is it the Marines?
The Marines.
No, I think it's the
Coast Guard.
Coast Guard. Always watchful. Is that what it is?
Oh, I'm sorry. No. Do you want me to
look it up? Okay. She'll look it up. But of course, the Marines are Semper Fidelis.
That's what I thought.
Always faithful. That's the Marines. Semper Fidelis.
Siempre fiel.
Semper fiel. That's right. Always faithful, as it says in Spanish. And the Marines or the Navy. Let's see. What's the Navy motto? Anchors away, that's all I can think of.
Stand aboard.
Anyway, they want to draw people. Therefore, watch. As we've said many times, our name Waite, for some reason, historically, either the English or what is the other place we
think of? Scottish.
But Scottish, either it is Scottish, means watchman. It means a watchman.
It's Waite. English. I think it's English.
Maybe it's English. And the Waites were the watchmen on the walls and everything, see if the people are coming or not coming. But this is watch. And what else? The second thing Paul says to these Ephesian elders, pastors, bishop elders. What's the second thing in verse 31?
Remember.
See now, why does he say remember? Do people remember everything that ever been told them?
Remember the things that you have been taught according to true doctrine.
Okay. Yeah, see?
Remind
them. I mean, it's hard to remember. I mean, every time somebody says something to you, or whether it's a story, whether it's a Bible verse, whatever, some things you remember, some things you don't. Yeah, Sammy.
But he's telling him right now.
Yes.
Remember what I'm going to tell you.
Exactly.
In just a second.
Exactly. Okay. He wants to remind them and remember. And we mentioned earlier, even last Sunday afternoon, I believe, we talked about the curve of forgetting, that psychological curve of forgetting. Someone remember what that is. Tell me what it is. You remember from Sunday afternoon. Anna remembers.
You have to learn much more.
You have to overlearn. See, as soon as you learn something.
Here.
What is it? Go ahead.
The curve's here.
Okay.
You start to forget, so you have to learn up to here.
That's good. You learn this far. It's here's, but you see, you got to learn up here. As soon as you learn, it's, the curve of forgetting goes real fast. Mm-hmm. So in order to remember, you got to overlearn way up here. So when it starts, levels off, you still know. Mm-hmm. So, but remember. All right, now notice, how long was Paul there telling his pastors? 3 years. That's a long time.
Tres años,
3 years, that's right. For space of 3 years, what did he do, what did he not do?
Say it again.
What did he do?
He never stopped warning them.
Never stopped warning. Why do you suppose he was warning, think he was warning them of?
Because he knew it was going to happen.
Okay. What would you warn him for? What were the warnings, do you think? Well, probably verse 29-30, right? People coming from without, people coming from within. They're warning them. See, be careful. Watch out. Watch. Be careful. Fíjese. Look out. All right. That's Spanish. Talking to the Spanish fellow up here. All right. So watch out.
Spanish fellow?
I'm talking to the Spanish boy.
Oh, I thought we had a new Spanish fellow.
No, he's a Spanish. He speaks Spanish. Fíjese means watch out. Watch out. Be very careful. All right. So he says, I watch and remember by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone. And what is, do people like to be warned of things?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Let's say, Dave?
They need to be.
When a railroad train is coming and you have the gates that come down, why do those gates come down and the bells start to ring? Why?
Warning to stop.
Warning. So you walk on the tracks.
Stop. And sometimes if that doesn't happen,
people go around.
Sometimes they go around.
Isn't that stupid?
Yeah, it is. And sometimes if
there was someone trapped about a year and a half ago.
That's right.
It happens all the time.
That's right. And sometimes the gate fails to go down, and the train comes. They don't even see it. They're just demolished. Oh. But there's a warning. Yes, Steve.
She was trapped, and she was so worried about her brand new vehicle that she just bought. Uh-huh. She got out of it. And to see if there was a mark on it, why the car was on the tracks. And the car, it was all over the news, and she was hit, and the SUV was hit.
It got hit, didn't it?
Yeah.
She got hit.
Well, it definitely
oh, was. Man.
What was she looking for? She should have leaked it.
The gate closed on top of the vehicle.
On top of the vehicle.
And she went outside the vehicle to see what was going on.
And she got saved when she went outside.
And she went back in the vehicle and realized the train was already there.
Well, yeah. Did she hear it coming?
Crash.
Why didn't she stop
after she got on the tracks?
Now, before the gate comes down, what happens? Usually.
Okay. It starts ringing. The lights flashing
and the bell rings.
Yeah.
So we got the sight and the sound. So she should never even gone near those gates.
Oh.
Yeah. Terrible. So I cease not to warn. Let me ask this. Some people, we said, like to be warned. Some people don't like to be warned. If it's something that's going to be serious, if you don't do something, wouldn't it be advantageous to you to be warned about it?
Yes.
It would be advantageous, even though you don't like it. You know, so be careful. If this happens, this. But he ceased not to warn. How often, just once in a while, to follow? What does it mean, night and day? Was Paul a long-winded preacher?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Remember, we talked
absolutely
earlier about Eutychus. What happened to Eutychus?
Yeah, he fell backwards and
fell off the third loft.
Three stories down.
And was killed.
Was killed, and the Lord raised him up again. So, and that was till midnight. He fell out. Then after got him back up, he went from midnight to when, preaching?
Well, he was also talking and eating.
All right, he had a little break.
I'm not sure if he was preaching.
Well, maybe not, but after, shortly after, how long did he continue to preach?
6 o'clock.
All night. Till break of day.
And Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead.
Yep.
That's
you got it.
And apparently, Paul wasn't very, it wasn't interesting to listen to
him
because he even says, you know, that he wasn't.
He He must have been okay, though.
But you know, even if something's interesting, if you're sleepy, you go to sleep even if it's interesting. You miss it.
If you're overdone.
Yeah, you begin to snore. So he warns them night and day. And notice, night and day, what else was true of his warning? Excuse me, Anna, go ahead.
Okay, well, semper vigilans, or vigilans, always vigilant, is the model of several institutions, such as the U.S. Air Force Auxiliary Civil Air Patrol. But in the model...
Always vigilant, that's the Air Force.
Can you say that in English now?
The Coast Guard. Where did it go? It was supposed to be...
I think we got the Coast Guard before.
The Coast Guard is semper paratus. Always ready.
Yeah, always ready. The others are always vigilant.
That's the name. No, it wasn't the entire Air Force. It's confusing.
Confusing. I get the Navy. I know the Marines are semper fidelis. We know they're always faithful. But check with the Navy. But the motto is,
except
I should.
Except when they're overseas.
Well, that's the Marines. Yeah, they're not very faithful when they're overseas. That's right. To their family, to their wives. All right. So night and day. What else to say about his warning in verse 31?
He warned with tears.
What do you think with tears would mean?
That he was very emotional about it. Really
troubled.
Thought about it.
Did he believe what he was warning about?
Yes. Absolutely.
He
did.
He really cared for the people.
Now, I don't know whether these pastor, bishop, elders went back and took Paul honestly and kept what he did and was warned and accepted it. I hope they did at first. Mm. Of course, now the church at Ephesus is, you know, nothing Bible believing. In other words, everything fails. But anyway, he wanted to warn them. Then in verse number 32, I think we read 32, 29, did we know? I guess that's the 31. Okay, let's read 32, 33, and 34 together. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Verse 32. Brethren, referring to whom?
The elders.
The elders, pastors, okay. Elders, the brethren.
Fellow believers.
Fellow believers. The fellow Christians, saved people, brethren. And these are pastors, bishop, elders from Ephesus. I commend you to God. Commend meaning what?
Sure.
Recommend.
Commit. Okay. Commit you to two things. What's the first thing he commits them to?
To God.
Very important. The Lord God of heaven and earth. And secondly, what else?
The word of his grace.
Where is the word of his grace found?
In the word of God.
The scriptures, the word of God. Is it important what Bible we use? Yes, they had the Old Testament at that time, but today, if we're to be commended to the word of God, is it important for us what Bible we use today? Yes, it is. Are all Bibles the same?
No.
Are even all Spanish Bibles the same?
No.
Oh, there's different ones. Different translations, because they got the different Greek texts, different translations. Commend the word of his grace. And in the English language, we believe the King James Bible is the most accurate, because it's based on what three different original
Textus Receptus.
Why?
Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek.
The Hebrew words, the Aramaic words, a few little Aramaic in the Old Testament, and the Greek words in the New Testament. We believe it's the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Are there some translations in all languages of the world that are based on improper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek?
Yes, most.
Yes, sir. Most, all the rest of them, practically. And so we've got to be very careful. So I commend you the word of his grace. Now, what is the word of his grace going to do for them if they read it and study it and practice it? Two things, verse 32. What's the first thing?
Edify you.
Edify. Build you up. What does that mean, to build you up? Make you fatter?
Edify.
No.
Edify. Strengthen. Strong. Make you strong. Strong. Edification. Build you up.
It's like a bodybuilder.
Like a bodybuilder.
Only spiritually.
That's right. Build up like a building. Strong build up. It builds you up. What's the second thing the word of his grace
gives? Inheritance.
Give an inheritance among whom?
All of them. Which are sanctified.
Who would that refer to?
All the born again Christians.
All the born again Christians. All the genuine Christians of all the world. Inheritance. In other words, Paul mentions the different rewards, doesn't it? And he mentions the crowns, the different things. And build you up and give you inheritance, those that are true to the scriptures, true to the word of God. And then in verse 33, what does Paul say about himself to the Ephesian elders, pastors, bishop elders?
He wasn't covetous.
He's not covetous. What does covetousness mean?
It's for more. Desiring something someone else has,
something you want, something you, whether you need it or not, you want it. See, he's covetous. What three things is he not covetous?
Silver, gold, and apparel.
Silver, gold, or apparel. Now, what about paper money and the dollars? Did he mention that?
He didn't want those either.
Is there any difference between gold, silver, and paper money?
That's for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
See, paper money, does it always stay the same? Same value?
No, because it decreases all the time.
See, when we were growing up, a dollar was different than the dollar today.
Yeah.
My wife remembers what loaf of bread would cost. What was it, honey, back when you were
growing up? Probably 25 cents.
25 cents.
10 cents.
Give us some other things.
And it wasn't even cut. You had to cut it, didn't
you? I don't remember.
Probably. In other words, but here I've covered no. Now, why do you think he says this? He hasn't covered one, gold, silver, or apparel. Apparel means what?
Clothing.
Why do you think he puts this in here? Do some pastors covet gold and silver and apparel?
For sure.
Yes.
To televangelists,
they do. Yeah. It's covetous. But why do you think he told them, rehearsed for them, reminded them, these pastor, bishop, elders from Ephesus?
Because he has a pure motive.
Pure motive, that's right. He doesn't want anybody to... Now, did he get paid for all of his services so he didn't have to work? He'd sit home in his office and...
No, he was a contractor.
He was a contractor. What was he contractor? What did he do?
Tents.
He was a tent maker. He made tents.
Tent maker.
Made tents. Very heavy, you know, sewing those things. Very serious. But he didn't covet gold or silver. Now, he could have had a lot of silver, a lot of gold, a lot of apparel from all the different churches that he founded. He founded many churches, didn't he? What are some of the churches in the New Testament he founded? That he wrote books to them, back and forth in letters. What are some of them?
Corinth
is one.
Ephesus
is one.
Philippi
is one.
Galatia.
Galatia is one.
Thessalonica.
Thessalonica.
Here's a C. One more. Here's a C.
Corinth.
Oh, we got to see another C.
Colossi.
Okay. So those are at least six.
Probably
Derby.
Lystra. Philippi. We get Philippi? Okay. All these different churches he went to.
Probably Miletus.
Everywhere he went, he founded churches. So he covered none of these things. And did we read? We didn't read 34. Did
yes,
we read 34? What did these people, these pastors, bishop, elders from Ephesus, know about Paul in verse 34? He said, you know this. What do they know?
That he hadn't coveted. He hadn't tried to get money from them.
His hands.
He worked with his own hands,
my necessities. And to whom else? To whom else did he minister?
To those that were
with him. Yeah,
they
were
traveled there. With him.
In other words, he was the workman. He got paid for tent making. And Timothy and others that went with him, they shared. He gave them some of his income from the tent making. And they're with me. So his hands. He was a handyman. He did a lot of work. And a lot of people don't like to work with their hands. And some people work more with their hands than their mind. Some people work with their mind. I mean, that's true. But he was a handman, hand worker. What's he find?
A lot of times when you work with your hands, your mind is really thinking about stuff.
Oh, yes. I remember I was a custodian.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you do the same thing, you know, polishing floors or anything. But your mind is going, you know, 10 different directions.
Right.
And you can memorize scripture or think of bad jokes or all kinds of stuff. I know for sure.
It weren't too bad.
Right. I can't do that on a ladder.
No.
Not a ladder. No, you got to be. So he ministered to
us. Not the jokes anymore.
Not the jokes. Not the jokes going to make me fall.
did we read 35 yet?
No, not yet.
I got all my jokes.
Let's read 35, 36, 37, 38. Let's finish the chapter. 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. All right, verse 35. Showed you all things. What did he show them by his example in verse 35?
Of labor, support the
weak. Support the weak.
Remember the words of the Lord.
What did the Lord Jesus, I don't know why they places in the Gospels of these words, but these words are here. Paul knew about them. Maybe the words the Lord Jesus told him in the 3 years when he's on the backside of the desert ministering to him. What did the words of the Lord Jesus say?
It's more blessed to give.
More blessed to give than to receive. What does that mean?
Because he helped them with the work.
All right, he helped
them
and he shared them rather than receive. And so now some people, that's all they want to do is receive and do no work at all. Now, that's not what it is. There's times for receiving, there's times for working. He worked hard and he shared what he had with his fellow believers. And then in verse 36, after he spoke these words, what did he do? In verse 36, what did he do?
With them.
He kneeled down.
He prayed with them all. So it was a closing prayer, a closing time of fellowship with these Ephesian elders, pastors, bishop elders. And what was their reaction as he wept, as he prayed?
They wept sore.
Wept so sore me.
Sorrow.
A whole lot.
Feeling really bad.
A whole lot. And what else did they do?
I know, it's the hardest thing when you're going to go.
They hugged him, fell on his neck.
To be a missionary or anything?
Yes.
And you go to the, they used to go to a ship, and I remember as a boy going to a ship and saying goodbye to a missionary that was going to Africa.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, everybody's sad.
Yes, that's right, because they'll see them not for a long time.
Mm.
So, fell on his neck.
I have a contribution to that.
Divine, right.
I remember when you went overseas. I can still see it when you left.
How long was I there?
A year, but I mean, I remember when you left.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if you were to Opa-locka. Did you take the plane? I can't remember exactly how you, but I remember saying goodbye to you.
Yeah.
I remember seeing you walking off.
That's a long time to be absent, especially for a wife that you love and the family. We had to have four children, didn't we?
Four children
at the time. Dan wasn't yet born. Yes.
I remember when we took John to Bob Jones. And we drove them down, and I remember when we left them off, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we both cried.
Yeah.
And that's silly.
That's true. Well, that's it. But you say goodbye to your friends, your loved ones. And Paul had to refer to these pastors, bishop elders. How long was he there at the church? How long was he at the church?
3 years.
3 years. That's a long time to get to know them and to preach the word. And then in verse 37, what was the reaction?
They wept.
All, probably Paul included, as well as the pastors, bishop, elders, and fell into and kissed him. And then in verse 38, what was their greatest sorrow?
That he would
see their face no more.
And he would get to teach them.
Tell them, not see them anymore.
That's right. There's a time to go, and this was it. And he never came back. And the company for the ship. So next chapter, we're going to see about how he's going to sail in the ship and go to Jerusalem or wherever he wants to go. So we can stop right here. I think it would be good. We'll take up chapter 21, Lord willing, next Thursday. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close? Yes, Steve.
Since I missed a little bit, can you sum this whole chapter up in a couple sentences?
All right.
Basically what it was about.
Okay. Paul was at Jerusalem, first of all, in the first part of chapter 20. And then he went to Troas.
I'll read it, but I'll read when I go home.
Yeah, he went to
sum it up real quick.
Troas. Tell me where Troas is. Over here. Here's Troas. Okay.
Right. It was in Macedonia, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what here's
so Troas. So he was traveling.
Troas, and then he
Troas.
He went to Troas.
He had Macedonia first.
Oh yeah, he was in Macedonia.
Yeah, I'll read the chapter.
Yeah, then he went to Troas, and
from verse 5.
And then he called the elders from
I guess
Troas.
What I'm trying to say, Pastor, yeah. It's the highlight of this chapter, so when I go back to read it, I can understand it a little
Well, I think
really
I think
I think he was establishing churches and visiting churches.
Okay. So when I read it, I'll understand it.
So he sees different names in cities and towns. Mm-hmm. He's there working, I believe, in churches and establishing them or revisiting them.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I want to know.
And he told these Ephesian elders, the pastor of Ephesian elders, in verse 17 and following, all that he did and something of his life, and he gave his ministry, how the Lord had used him, and so that's the background of chapter 20.
Okay.
All right, other comments or questions before we close? How about Dave, would you stand close in a word of prayer?
Yes, sir.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the work that Paul did as a missionary, that he established these churches, and he went to teach them, to steer them in the right way, for the churches to grow. And I pray that you would bless our hearts, that we might be right with thee and understand your word correctly, and to use it to win people to the Lord, and to try to teach people what's right. And I pray that you would help us to be firm in the faith and in what we believe, and no matter what comes in our country, that you would help us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I pray that you would guide us tonight and bless us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming.
Amen.